Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And Kevin, as well as the entire Friends of the Library group, are joining us today. We are recording this live with them, so you may hear some audience participation in the background, we're hoping. But Kevin also brought several books by Mitch Albom, and I know he's going to be focusing on one in particular.
I am, but before I get to Timekeeper, I just want to talk a little bit about Mitch Albom, which is one of my favorite authors. First of all, unlike some of the other books that we've talked about, he's a very easy read, but he's a very inspirational, motivational. For those of you that know me, I'm a pretty flawed dude, and so I like to read things that are very inspirational. How can I do better? How can I be better? And that's Mitch Albom is one of those authors for me. He's from Detroit, Michigan, he and his wife, and anyone that knows Mitch Albom probably knows Tuesdays with Maury, which is a fabulous book about reconnecting with a professor. Now, he reconnects with a professor that meant so much to him in his life, fell out of touch, went their own way, and he comes back just months before he passes away. And they spend every Tuesday together just gleaning the wisdom from this individual. So this is one of those books that for him, it was Maury. But for us, it could be someone in your family. It could be someone that was a boss. It could be a friend. It could be somebody that these kind of books reach out and say, who is it that I haven't talked to in a long time? What wisdom have I not gotten? And those are the kind of the books and the people. So I really appreciated that one. If you've seen that one, I'll just hit a couple real quick before. The Timekeeper for One More Day was another great book. This is a story about someone who actually tries to take his life, and he doesn't do a good job of taking his life. But he has the opportunity to meet back up with his mother, who is long since dead, and live one more day. So just think about if you had the opportunity to live just one more day with that one person that was special to you. What would you say? What would you do? That was a great book. Five People You Meet in Heaven. I see some of y'all have nodding, so some of y'all have seen this. So a lot of times in our life, we don't know why things happen, who comes into our life, why they came into our life. Here's a person in an amusement park that dies, goes up to heaven, and he meets five people that had an impact, whether he knew it or not, on his life, how he got to be where he was in his life, five different people. That was a great book. Not true. Tuesdays with Maury was a true story. Here's another one, Have a Little Faith. That is a true story. I don't use fiction and nonfiction because I can never figure out which is which. Jamie's told me that 100 times, which I'll just use true and not true.
It's okay. Believe it or not, that actually confuses a lot of people.
Is that really? Why can't we just say true and not true? Yeah, it's real or not.
Not true doesn't sound as fun.
It really doesn't. So this one, Have a Little Faith, is another true story of Mitch Albom and his Jewish rabbi. And the rabbi asks him to do his eulogy when he passes. And so this is a story of both a Jewish rabbi and another preacher. And it's two different churches, two different things that are going on in his life. Very revealing. Another true story from Mitch Albom. Recommend that. Which brings us to
The Timekeeper.
This is a great novel. Also, it's not true. A great story about Father Time. So this book starts out with someone, even as a child, that was consumed with counting. Whether it was water, sticks, shadows, bowls, just obsessed with counting. Everything he does is counting. And this is long before there was a Father Time. But he's obsessed with counting. His life grows on. Think of it as being compulsive at work. And I don't know that there's any of y'all that can be very compulsive at work. But things are going on in his life, and he's not paying real attention to it because he's really focused on counting, time and counting. And his wife becomes very ill. And he reacts to that illness, and he's sucked up into the vortex, into a cave somewhere, where he hears all these voices from the earth talking about different parts of time, people wanting more time, people wanting less time. And he's given the mission that he has to save two people of all these voices that he hears. So he has an hourglass with him. He returns to Earth. He figures out how to play with the sand that he can start and stop and make time go forward and backwards in the thing. But he finds two people. He finds a young teenager, and he finds an older gentleman that's very ill, that's about to die. The essence of the story is the young teenager falls in love. The guy wants nothing to do with her. She's jilted, and she decides to take her life. She wants a lot less time. There's nothing to live for because of this. On the other end is the older gentleman that before he's dying, he figures he's going to outsmart life. He's going to go to a cryo lab. He's going to freeze himself, and he's going to live forever. That way he's going to pop out on the other side when all the medicine has been there, and he's going to be able to live forever. So one person that wants too little time, one person that wants all the time in the world. I'll leave the end to it. I won't tell you how it goes, but he does help both of those people. He does come back into his life, and he gets to reunite with his wife, who was very, very sick at the end. And what's the issue? The issue is not whether we have too little, too much, too little, too more time. It's how we spend our time. And he let so much of his life go by on counting and things that he was doing that he didn't focus on the one thing that was really important, which is his wife. And so that's the extent of the story. It's not what time we have, but it's how we spend our time.
So this does seem very different from Mitch Albom's usual writing. Still inspirational, but the kind of like fantastical father time aspect maybe is a little different. How did the style and the content of the book compare to some of his other work?
You know, I liked it equally as well. I mean, I don't get too hung up on the real and the not real.
It's the trappings.
No, I don't. It's really about the story, and this is written in a very novel way, the characters that they use. And you do get drawn into the teenage girl and her problem. You get drawn into the older guy and his problem. So it's an easy story. I mean, most of Mitch Albom's books, you know, you can get to the plot and the end and the lesson learned very quickly. I handed it to my mom one day because she wanted to read it. She handed it to me back the next day. So, I mean, they're books that you can sit down and you can actually get that. When I'm reading leadership or management, I want those 1, 2, 3 pearls of wisdom that I can use and apply. And with Mitch Albom, this book included, you get there pretty quickly.
Now, are you getting three perspectives? Because you're also following Sarah is the girl, right? And Victor is the man that wants to live forever. Are you getting, like, their voice as well? Or is it all told from Father Time's voice?
Oh, no, you get their voice as well. So you're deep into both of the lives of both of them, what they're feeling, why they're feeling, what their issues are. And you see their struggle. You see the teenage struggle. And we all were teenagers. So we all had that first love and that person that we wanted to connect with that didn't think anything about us. And she thinks that if she kills herself, that he's going to have this great epiphany. Wow, look what I did to her. That was all my fault. Oh, my gosh. No, he just went on with his life.
Did it feel jarring to switch between those three perspectives in a book that looks maybe 200 pages?
No.
No? He made it work?
No, he makes it work. He goes chapter by chapter back and forth. See, it's like most books, you get into a rhythm. He gets where one chapter is with one and one's with the other, so you get into that rhythm pretty quickly.
Was there one of the perspectives that you found more relatable than the other?
I mean, of the characters?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've never been to cryo lab. You know, and I can't say that I've ever thought about wanting to live past. You know, the older we get, things start to ache. And so I'm not sure I'd like to see what that would look like. And Mary and I were talking about that. And just the idea is, why would you want to live forever? I mean, all the people that you knew and loved would no longer be there. It would all be different. I mean, what would that mean? You know, this is a relational life. It's us living together and the relationships we build with each other. Take that out of life. And I'm not sure. So of the two, I would have to side with her.
Okay.
And this book talks a lot about the passing of time. Did that make you change the way you live your life day to day? Did you have one of those inspirational moments where you thought like, yeah, I've thought about not valuing my time enough, but now I really feel like I need to sit down and think about what's important? Or did you just go, this is a good book, and then you continued your life?
No, there's a lot of books that talk about how we use our time.
Yeah.
I mean, there really is. You know, the quality of our time, what we do with it. Are you really investing in those people? I like revisiting that theme because sometimes we get into the daily routine and the grind. And I go to work, I come home from work, we usually eat together. We'll watch a little bit of TV, and then Mary will switch to something that I've got to go in the back and watch ESPN. And
it's you've got to go in the back and read
the sequel
to Wild Ones?
There's a whole other room for the Wild Ones, yeah. I usually do analytics. I usually have to go back and do analytics on ESPN. But I think it's valuable every now and then to continue to read, even in different forums, this idea of what are we doing with our time? Are we investing in others? Are we giving people? You know, you heard that age-old adage from kids, how do kids spell love, T-I-M-E. All they want is time, and I think that's what we have. And all too often, me included, we just get caught up in our routines and the things that we do, and we don't spend time with those that we should.
And quality time is one of the love languages,
that's
which
true.
Was another book that was reviewed like back in April on our podcast. Yeah. Before we get into the rapid fire question, I do want to ask, what kind of reader would you recommend this book to?
Oh, I think anybody that likes inspirational, motivational, those feel-good stories. So I'm also a Hallmark watcher.
Yeah.
During November and December. The TV stays on the two or three channels. You know, I like a good cry. I'm very, you know, emotional, more emotional than I wish I was. But, you know, anything that grabs my heart and tugs on it and make me stop and think about it, anyone that wants to improve and, you know, if you're self-reflective in general, I think these are good books.
So now we are going to move on to our rapid fire question round.
That's right. Yes.
So how many people have you beeped out before? Am I just the only one?
There's been a few. We beeped me out.
So at one point I also got to, we had somebody on staff recommend some very spicy romance novels to both of us. So we read them at the same time.
I would say four or five tamales.
Yes. We read them and both decided to review them. And usually we have this segment where people will roll a dice and read like whatever page numbers on one side and then a line on another side. So I happened to get one of those random sentences. I used to joke about it all the time that was just a single bad word.
Yes, and that was after mine, which I think was about four lines long, and it was this deep like sentence about how like she missed her father, but he would never understand her, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes and she just beep. That was my line.
Yeah.
Yes, but it really does depend on the guest that we have, because someone like Kevin Troller, who can keep talking and is articulate enough in front of a microphone that he's not going to get scared and stutter a lot, is a lot easier. And then there are people who are really terrified of speaking
to a
microphone.
We've even interviewed teens before, and it was their first time.
Teens are very scared of being recorded.
Yeah.
Because we have a...
And how do you determine the topic?
We beg.
Yeah, we basically beg, and you guys are completely eligible and welcome to appear as guests on our show if you ever want. Another sneaky reason why we wanted to do this for you guys. But we basically put out a call for people, especially when we're running low.
I don't want to say we beg, because we don't normally track people down and force them to be on our podcast.
But, you know, one side effect of working in a library is a lot of times your coworkers will come up to you and be like, oh my gosh, I just read this book.
Passionate
I have to
readers.
Talk to somebody about it. And that lends itself very well to a podcast. Whether you loved it or you hated it, both come out with some really good results.
Books tend to go through libraries like the plague. You'll look up and six people will have read the same book that you read, and suddenly you're all like, we need to talk about it, and we just pop out and go, record it!
Yes.
Talk about it on our podcast.
Yes. Let's just find a time when we can all sit down for 20 minutes. So one of my other favorite episodes that we did was we had a teenager that came in and wanted to talk about The Old Man and the Sea, which everybody has been forced to read at some point. And really for her, it was like this cleansing moment where she got to air out how much she hated that book.
Yes. As a 15-year-old girl, she was not really bonding with the main character of The Old Man.
She's like, I can't find him relatable.
Yeah. And we don't really live near much of a sea either, so she didn't really understand the marlin aspect of it.
So anyway, that one has had frequent downloads. Our highest, like,
I think everyone who doesn't like Old Man and the
pretty
Sea
much, I think that's what happened.
Maybe they'll just tell me the plot and I won't have to read it.
But the one that has had the most downloads thus far was the review of Kafka on the Shore. We happened to have a librarian in from California who was interviewing for a position here, and she recorded a review with us.
Yeah. And had a lot of cats in it.
Yes. Probably the
That's
reason why it's
I
so
remember.
Popular. I have a question that goes back to Timekeeper, because it's just been bothering me. What was Victor's end game? Like, if he was going to be cryogenically frozen and, like, outlive all his family and stuff and live forever, what did he want to do with that time?
He was going to be healed. You know, so he had this thing. He was just going to keep going on and on. By the time he came out of the cryo, they would have solved whatever it was that he had. And so he would, you know, he had all the money in the world. He never thought about it in terms of his wife and the impact that would have on the people. Because, again, without giving away too much of the book, he doesn't discuss this with his wife. I mean, you would think something so important, you know, that I'm going to do with my life, I would certainly talk to my wife about that. But he didn't. He waited till she was gone, and then he goes to the cryo lab, and he's going to go and do this.
Oh, wow.
Okay? So the timekeeper has to kind of recover, and in the processing of it, he sees the reaction. So both of them get to see the reaction of what happens after they did what they did. So the girl thought the guy would just be, you know, oh gosh, look what I did to her. No, he just moved on to the next girl. And she said, what I did had no impact on him. Well, he got to see his wife come to the cryo lab, and she was so mad for what he had done. He had taken away, what, her voice in the process anyhow, but she didn't get to say goodbye, and now he's in this tube.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just cold. It was sterile, and he got to see that. He never thought of that.
Okay. If there are no further questions, then we are going to go ahead and wrap up the recorded portion of the podcast.
Y'all were way too easy on him.
So thank you all so much for joining us for this very special episode.
Yes.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.